Loch Aleph, first ruling. Yesh ladayon lodon bedine mamoinois. A judge should judge monetary cases. Al pi hadvorim shedater noitelohem shehem emes. According to those words or arguments that his mind is inclined to accept to be truthful. But dovo chozok beliboy shukain, and he feels strongly in his heart that the matter is this way, the way his mind is inclined to think and believe, afo pish ein shom raya bruo, notwithstanding the fact that there is no clear evidence to that effect. Vein zoich loima, and no need to mention, that im hoya yodea bevadai shadova kenhu, that if the judge somehow or other knows himself for sure that the matter is this way, the way it appears to him, then shudon kefima shiyadeya, that he must judge according to the knowledge that he has, according to what he knows. Even though that the evidence before him is not really quite that convincing in that direction, but he has some other knowledge about it. Ketzad, how does this apply? Harashnitzchayef odom shvur bebeisdin, if somebody has to give an oath in court, somebody has been accused, and he can exempt himself by giving an oath, Vomaladayan, and somebody speaks to the judge, another person, Odom Shunemon Etzlai, a person that the judge finds trustworthy, Beshadata Samechas Aldvorov, and the judge relies on his words. And this person told the judge, Shesehu Ish Choshet Aleshvor, that this defendant who now has to give an oath is suspect that he is liable to swear falsely. Then the judge should not make the defendant swear, because there is the possibility that he will swear falsely, but what he should do is, he should transfer the oath to the defendant's opponent, in other words, to the plaintiff, and he, the plaintiff, should swear with regards to his claim, and take that which he came to court to claim. Why? Because the judge relies on the words of this man who gave him this information, and he knows this man to be trustworthy and relies on him. Even if there's a woman or a slave whom he knows, that the judge knows them, and they are trustworthy to him, and they are the ones who informed him about the defendant, since that information is found to be firm and correct in his own heart, in other words, in the heart or in the mind and the conviction of the judge, because the informant is trustworthy to him and he relies on them, that he should rely on them, but don't, and judge accordingly. And no need to mention that im yodahu atzmoi sheze choshut, that this is the procedure that he should follow if he himself knows that the defendant, that this person who by law was supposed to give an oath in court, is suspect and liable to swear falsely. That he should never ask him under such circumstances to swear, but transfer the oath to his opponent. V'chein likewise, im yotzo shtar choif lefonov, if a note of indebtedness is brought before him, before the judge in court, in other words, one person is claiming that the other one owes him money, and for proof he produces a note of indebtedness, and a person that the judge generally relies on, that the judge knows to be a trustworthy person, says to the judge, even if that person, that informant, is a woman or a close relative, and close relatives are also ineligible to act as witnesses, if such a reliable person will tell the judge that say peruahu, that this note is paid up, in other words, the plaintiff's claim is false, then im somcho data al dvorov, if the judge trusts his words, in other words, the words of this informant, he relies on his words generally, then he cannot act and pass sentence strictly in terms of the evidence presented, which seems to be in favor of the plaintiff, insofar that he holds a note of indebtedness, but yesh lo loimolozeh, but he should say to him, to the defendant, lo tipora elo bishwo, do not pay unless he will take an oath. In other words, unless the claimant here will take an oath. Or im hoyo lof shtar choif l'acher, if the same defendant has also been charged with a claim against somebody else. In other words, there are two plaintiffs which come to court. Each one holds a note of indebtedness. With regards to the one note, with regards to one plaintiff, the judge has received information from a reliable person that he is suspect because, to the best knowledge of that reliable person, that note has been paid up. Then yiten lozei shloi nifgam shto eklal, then the judge should pass a sentence that the defendant should pay the claim of the one whose note has not been impaired. Again, there are here two claims against the defendant. A claims and B claims. Both have a note of indebtedness. But with regards to the note of indebtedness of A reliable person has told the judge that it was paid up. Nobody said anything with regards to the note of B. The defendant has only enough money to pay off one note at this point, then the judge should pass sentence that the defendant should pay up the note of the one about whom nothing has been said about his note. In other words, the one whose note has not been impaired. A's note was impaired by the informant. B's note was not impaired, so B should be paid off. Again, as Rambam says, Yitein lozei, the defendant should give to the one shloi nifgam shto eklal whose note was not impaired at all. Ve'yaniar zeh shenifgam shtoroi, and he should put aside the claim of the one whose note was impaired. Ve'divrei echot, through the words of this one person, the informant that told the judge. So either put aside this claim altogether, or yashlich hashtor befonov, or throw the note back to before him, give it back to the plaintiff, Bela Yodan boy, and do not judge this case at all. Kefima Shire, whichever way, whatever the judge sees fit to do under those circumstances. Vehain, likewise, Mi Shebo Vetoan, if somebody comes and claims, Sheyeshlai Pikodin Eitzel Ploini, that he has or he left an object in the safekeeping of a certain individual, Shemeis Beloy Tzavo, who has died without leaving a will, Venosan Simonin Mufokin, and he gave unmistakable signs or marks about the object, in other words, he is able to identify it very precisely, Velohoyo Zeha Toyein Rogi Likones Bebeis Zeho Ish Shemeis, and this person, the plaintiff, did not usually come to visit in the house of the deceased person. If he would be a frequent visitor in his house, then we may suspect that he may have seen a certain object there and familiarized himself with it, and therefore is able to identify it with unmistakable signs and marks. But we are talking about a case where the claimant is not one that has frequently visited the house of the deceased, and he still does know specific, unmistakable signs of the object that he claims this is, then im yoda hadayon, if the judge knows, sheze hameis einu omut lios lechefetz ze, that this deceased person is generally not estimated to be wealthy enough to normally have an object as the claimant is demanding now, that he claims is his, and the judge is inclined to think that this object does not belong to the deceased person, then he can take it away from the heirs of the deceased, and give it to the plaintiff, the claimant, who has been estimated, who has been evaluated, that indeed, he is wealthy enough. It is quite likely, according to his wealth, according to his status, that this object may have belonged to him. Benosan Simonim, and after all, he did give signs, he did give unmistakable marks, he was able to identify it. Mechen kol kayotze baze, it is likewise with all similar cases. Shein adovo mosu elo leliba shaldayin, therefore, in such a case, in such matters, this is left to the discretion of the judge, lefima sheyeroe loy, according to the way things appear to him, in other words, that he feels convinced, shehu din ho'emes, that this is the true judgment. But if that is the case, in Cain, if this be so, lo mohitzricho teiro shnei edim, why then did the Torah require two witnesses? If it is left to the discretion of the judge, the way that he is convinced, the way that his mind is inclined as to where truth lies, then what purpose is served by the two witnesses? And Rambam answers, Shebizman sheyevoyu lifnei hadayin shnei edim, for whenever there are two witnesses that appear before the judge, then yodun al pi edusam, then he must judge according to their testimony. Notwithstanding the fact that he does not know and he has no way of knowing whether they have testified truthfully or falsely. Halacha beis. Kol eilu advoim, all these things that have been said in the preceding halacha, heim ikar hadin, they are of the essence of the law. This is, if we go strictly by law, the way it should be. Avo misherobu botedinim, but with the increase of courts, she'enam hagunim, who are not really fit. In other words, the members are not really fit. Vafilu hoyu hagunim b'maaseyam, and even if they are fit in terms of their moral, if their deeds, their moral qualifications, nonetheless, enam chachomim koroyu balebino, they are not sufficiently wise and understanding men that we can rely on leaving it to their discretion. Therefore, hiskimu roif bote dine Yisrael, therefore most courts of Israel have agreed, shelo yahafchu shvur, that they will not transfer an oath from the defendant to the plaintiff, elo birayo bruo, unless they have clear, convincing evidence to do so. In other words, unless there's clear evidence that the defendant cannot be trusted with giving an oath. Likewise, they agreed, that they will not impair a note, a document, and now it's like a note of indebtedness, as we learned before, and make it lose its solidity, or no more than the evidence of a woman or somebody else ineligible to act as a witness. And so likewise with regards to all other legal matters. Now there's all these things which we learned in Halacha Aleph about leaving things to the discretion of the judge. These things are no longer practiced nowadays. Yodun hadayun bismichas datoi, and a judge should not decide on the basis of his own opinion, v'loi b'yidiyosai, or relying strictly on his own personal knowledge. Why have we changed this? Kedesh lo yoyma kol hedyoit, so that not any common layman will come and say, libi mamin ledivoy say, I'm inclined in my heart to believe the words of this one, or vedati somechas alze, or my mind is inclined to rely on this one. You know, it's just in terms of their personal feelings, without really having examined, without really having the proper knowledge and understanding that we would require in order to rely on the discretion of the judge. V'chein likewise, ein motzin min ha-yesoimim, we do not remove anything or seize anything from orphans, which means from heirs, elo b'raya bruro, unless there is clear evidence to the words of the plaintiff, the one who argues that the estate of the deceased has something owing to him. Loi b'das adayin, we do not do so in terms of relying on the opinion of the judge, v'loi b'umden hameis oyatoyin, nor by estimating or evaluating the wealth of the deceased, whether an object like that would normally be found amongst his possessions, nor in terms of estimating the plaintiff, whether an object like this would normally be expected to be amongst his possessions. Ve'af al pikein, nonetheless, says Rambam, im hayit odam neemon badova mikol hadvorim, if it still should happen even nowadays that a trustworthy person will testify about any one of these matters that we mentioned before. Like, for example, that the defendant is suspect with regards to an oath, or that the Starchäuf, the note of indebtedness, has been paid up. And the judge is very much inclined to accept and believe that it is indeed so, that what this informant has told him is true. What should he do? Then Mamsin Badin, he should delay the case. He should not dismiss this testimony of this trustworthy informant. But he should deliberate and discuss with the litigants the case and keep pushing and keep stretching for time until they will acknowledge the words of this witness, in other words, this trustworthy person. In other words, that whatever he has said, the one that it applies to will somehow acknowledge and admit to it. And then, of course, the decision will be quite clear. Or alternatively, they will agree to an arbitrated settlement. If he can achieve one of these, either that they will confess and admit to what this trustworthy informant has told the judge, or they will arrive at an arbitrated settlement, then that will be the end of the case. If he cannot achieve either of these, or yistalek min adin, then he should withdraw from the case and say he refuses to judge it. Because on the one hand he has evidence, on the one hand he has conviction that it is one way, but there is no clear evidence, no clear proof to decide that way. He cannot go against his conscience, so in such a case then he should simply withdraw. Halacha Gimel. Uminayan, how do we know? Ladayan shu yodea badin shu merume. That if a judge knows about a certain case that it involves deceit, falsehood, misrepresentation, there is no evidence for it, but he knows that somehow there is deceit and misrepresentation there. Shaloi yoima, he should not say, Echtecheno, I will decide the case in terms of the evidence presented before me. And let the chain hang around the necks of the witnesses. In other words, let the witnesses bear the responsibility for the consequences for any false judgment that came out that I was compelled to render because of the deceit and the fraud and the misrepresentation. A judge is not allowed to say so. How do we know? Talmud Loima, because scripture says, Midvar Sheker Tichok. Remove yourself, keep yourself far away from falsehood. Ketzed Yaseh, what then should the judge do in such a case? Yidrosh Boy, he should inquire into it, Veyachko Habe, and investigate a great deal, Bidrisho Vechakiro Sheldine Nefoshois, in line with the type of investigations and inquiries that are used in capital cases, in case of capital offenses. There, as we already learned in an earlier chapter, there is a great deal of investigating the witnesses. They are asked many questions, many different types. They are threatened. They are made to be afraid of the consequences of what they get themselves involved in. So here, likewise, the judge should go into great detail, investigating and inquiring as much as is possible. And then, im niraloi lefidatoi, if it will appear to him according to the way he sees and understands things, sh'ein boi ramos, that there is no deceit, that there is nothing fraudulent, then choyte chesadin al piredos, then indeed he should render his decision according to the testimony and the evidence presented. Avel im hoyo liboi noikvoi, but if his heart, his mind troubles him, in other words, he feels somehow within him sheyesh boy ramos, that is here some fraud, is here some deceit, or she'ein datos semeches al divrei ha'edim, or that somehow he does not feel that he can really rely on the words of the witnesses. Afal pi she'eino yochel poslam, notwithstanding the fact that he cannot find anything concrete to disqualify them, or she'dato noite shebal din ze ramai. Or he is inclined, he believes, the way he sees it and understands it, that one of the litigants is a swindler, ubal ormo, and using slyness, vehishia sa'edim, and he led astray the witnesses, afa pi shehem ksherim, even though the witnesses themselves are fit, are competent, are proper people, decent, honest people, ulefi tumum ha'idu, and they testified in all innocence. It's just that vezehitam, that this particular litigant has misled them, has led them astray. Oshinira loy miklala dvorim, sheyeshom dvorim acherim mesitorim, or it appears to him from the context of whatever has been said that there are some other matters which are being kept concealed by one or both of the litigants. Veinom roitz, of the witnesses, veinom roitzim legaloisom, and they do not want to bring them out into the open. They do not want to reveal them. Kol eilu advorim, all such matters, in all such cases, ukeyoseben, or under similar circumstances, Osuloi lachtach oisadin, the judge is forbidden to render a decision in that case. Ela yisalik asma midin ze, but he should remove himself from that case. Veyidinenu mishaliba sholem badova, let it be judged by another one, by another judge, who feels somehow confident and sure about himself with regards to this matter. Not as where there is any slight indication, direct or indirect, or even just a hesitation in the judge's mind or heart, that there is something fraudulent going on here, that not everything is above board, he should remove himself. These matters are committed to the heart. In other words, there is no one who could possibly know what goes on in the judge's mind, but he knows that himself. And he has to square it off with his own conscience. He has to be honest about this case, because of Omer, and scripture says, Ki amishpot l'elokim hu, for judgment is God's, meaning that God knows what goes on in your heart. God knows whether you are really sure about this matter, or whether you have doubts and you're merely trying to get it over and done with, even though that deep inside you know that there is something wrong here. Halacha Dalet. Yesh lebeisdin lehalkois misha'ena mechuyav malkus. The court has the power to flog a person who, by the strict letter of the law, is not really liable to flagellation. And likewise, velarog misha'ena mechuyav miso, to put to death a person who, by the strict letter of the law, is not really guilty of capital punishment. They're allowed to do so not in the sense of being permitted to violate the words of the Torah, which do not stipulate these particular penalties for these for the crimes committed. But they are allowed to do so and will do so in order to put up a fence around the Torah. In other words, to protect the Torah. The kivon sheroyim beistin sheportzu ha'om badova, thus when the court will see that the people have made a breach in some matter, in some law, precept, custom of Israel, there is a disrespect and a disregard of a certain law or matter of the Torah, then yesh lehem ligdoir ulechazek hadova, then they are to take measures to safeguard and to strengthen that matter, kefi ma sheyiro Elohim, in whichever way they see fit. And whatever decision they make, and they take, as for example, flogging somebody, even though that by the strict law of the Torah he is not liable to flogging, or even giving capital punishment, where the strict law of the Torah does not require that, these decisions, hakol haroas shor, they are all momentary, temporary decisions. In other words, required by those circumstances at that particular time. And not that that decision taken by the court will have established a halacha, a law, a ruling for the generations to come. It will not become a precedent binding for all time to come. And Rambam now quotes several incidents along these lines, that Maisa, it once happened, that the Hilku Odom, that they flogged a man, Shabual Ishtoi, who cohabited with his wife, Tachas Ilon, under a tree. Now, this is not really a crime that requires flogging, that the Torah punishes by flogging. But nonetheless, it was a breach in modesty, a breach in sneus. It was an act of immorality. And to prevent and preclude recurrence of such events, they flogged a man as a lesson, as a warning to other people. Likewise, Umayse Be'echot, it once happened with one person, Sherochav al Sus b'Shabbos, that he rode a horse on the Sabbath. Bimei Yevonim, this happened in the days when the Greeks were ruling in the land of Israel, and they instituted many laws to preclude and prevent Jews from observing the Torah. And this man, by riding the horse, also openly breached a precept of Jewish life, of Jewish custom, even though that this is not a capital offense according to the Torah. Nonetheless, they viewed the basin. He was brought before the court, uskoluhu, and they stoned him. Again, this has to be taken in the context of the times, of the circumstances, to serve as a warning, as a precaution for others not to breach the laws of the Torah, even if it be merely a rabbinic law. Moreover, Maise, it once happened, Betolo Shimon ben Shotach, Shmoinim Noshim Beyoim Echot Be'ashkelon, that Shimon ben Shotach had 80 women hanged in one day at Ashkelon. 80 women who were practicing sorcery, which is indeed a capital offense, but A, one does not judge and condemn two defendants that have committed a capital offense in one day, as we learned earlier, and here he had condemned and hanged in one and the same day 80 women. Moreover, they did not go there through all the requirements of inquiry and investigation that is normally practiced and must normally be practiced in all capital cases. Nor was there proper due forewarning of the accused. Nor was there conclusive clear evidence against them. Nonetheless, he regarded this as a necessity, as an emergency, that it was necessary for the moment due to the circumstances and the general behavior with the various breaches in Jewish law and custom, as he saw it, and therefore he condemned him. And a court is allowed to do so. This is not done as simply an arbitrary decision, obviously. It is done with full consciousness and full responsibility of the seriousness of Torah and of law and order, where the court feels, out of its sense of responsibility, that certain emergency measures must be taken. That sometimes we have to go beyond the law simply in order to protect it. As Rambam mentioned before, lasis siok latoyo, to put up a fence around the Torah to protect it from disregard and disrespect. Halacha hei, v'chein yesh lebeisdin b'chol mokoim u'b'chol zman, likewise, a court can, anywhere, at all times, lahalkois odom, flog a person, sheshmu osayro, that is of ill repute, v'omeran nimolov, about whom the people are talking, shehu oiver al haroyois, that he violates the laws of forbidden relationships. If there is a person of such ill repute, then the court is allowed to flog him, wherever it may be, and at whatever time it may be. For who provided, though, sheyeh koil she'ena poisek, that it is a rumor that is persistent, that does not stop. In other words, people just keep talking about it, and then after a while, we just have no choice but to assume that there must be truth to this matter. K'moy she'be'anu, as he explains. Provided also, of course, that v'lo yu elu oivim yeduim, that those people who spread that rumor, who persist in talking about him, are not known to be enemies of his. She'metzion olof shmuro, who spread an evil report about him. The chain, likewise, aside of being committed to flog him, Mevazines ze sheshmosero, this person of ill repute may be despised, umechofines yuladatoi befonov, and one reviles the one that gave birth to him in his presence. Halochavov. V'chein, likewise, yesh ledayan tomit lahafkir momansh yesh lebailim, a judge may at all times confiscate money of private ownership, abate, and he can have it destroyed, or venoisen, or give it away, kefima sheyire as he sees fit, ligdoy pirsois adas, to halt all forms of a breakdown of the religion, of the faith, ulachazek habedek, and to mend the breaches, oi liknois alom ze, or to fine those who would use power or violence to defy the law. Vaharu oimer be'ezra, thus it is said in Ezra, the book of Ezra, that v'choyla she'lo yovoi lishloishes hayomim, and whosoever will not come within 3 days, ka'atzas hasorim ve'hazekenim, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, yochorom kol rechushoi, then all his possessions, all his substance shall be forfeited. And from this mikan, from this verse, we learn that shehefka based in hefka, that the court has the power to confiscate property, and if they do so, then this declaration, this action of the court, has full legal force. Halocho zayin. V'chein likewise, yesh ledayun lenadois, a judge may lay the ban, ulahachim, or invoke excommunication, mishe'eno be'nidui, even upon such a person who, by strict letter of the law, is not liable to be put into the ban. Why is he allowed to do that, and when is he allowed to do that? Kedei likdoi peretz, the same as we said before, in order to halt any breakdown of religion, kefima she'yeroeloi, whichever way that the judge sees fit, va'ashor tzricholokach, and it is obviously the need of the hour that certain action has to be taken. The yoimah, and if the judge has taken such action, he should say that shenidohu vechrimohu al datoi, that he has put this person into the ban or excommunicated him by his decision, by his opinion, v'yefasim chetoi berabim, and he should proclaim in public the offense of that this person has committed. Now, since it is not really an offense for which the law stipulates a ban or excommunication, but this becomes more or less a horror show, the need of the hour, it is done as a necessity for the preservation of law and order, so therefore the judge should proclaim and publicize what this person has done and why he has put him in the ban or excommunicated him. Shenema, as it is said, Oiru Meirois, curse Meiros, Omar Malach Hashem, said the angel of God, Oiru Oror Yoshveho, curse bitterly the inhabitants thereof, Kiloibo Le'esras Hashem, because they did not come to the help of God. Halochoches. Again, likewise, Yesh ledayun lasis merivo im horoi loriv imai. A judge may quarrel with him who deserves to be quarreled with. Ula kaloloi, and to curse him. Ula koisoi, and to smite him. Velitzlosh soroi, and to pull his hair. Ula hashpia balakim bal kochoi, and to force him to swear by God, shloi yase, that he will no longer do what he did. Oishloi also, alternatively, to swear by God that he has not done that of which he is accused. Shenemar, as it is said, Ve'orif imam, and I will contend with them. Va'kalaleim, and I will curse them. Va'ake mehem anoshim, and I will smite some of the men of them. Ve'em retaim, and I will pluck their hair. V'ashbiyem belakim, and I'll make them swear by God. Halochotes. V'chein likewise, yesh loy likvois yodayim raglayim, he may tie the hands and the feet of the offender, v'leso bebeis asurim, and have him imprisoned, velitchoif, and push, velitchoif al oetz, and drag him on the ground. Shneimar, as it is said, that we find in scripture, that Ezra the scribe was authorized to punish offenders as he saw fit, hein lemois, whether it be for death, to put them unto death, hein lishroishi, or to banish them, or to drag them on the ground, hein la'anosh nichsin, or to confiscate their property, ve'le'esurin, or to have them imprisoned. Halacha yud. Kol eilu hadvoim. All these things, all these measures mentioned in the rulings preceding, are done lefi ma sheyireh hadayon, as the judge sees fit. Shezeh roi lakach, that he, meaning the offender, deserves that these things be done to him, and v'she'asho tzicho, and that the hour, in other words, the circumstances or conditions, make this necessary. Ubakoil, but in all these matters, in all these measures, yiyu ma'asof l'shem shemayim, his deeds, his actions, whatever he shall do, whatever measures he will feel it is necessary to execute, he must make sure that they are done for the sake of heaven. Val yir kvoit habrios kal be'enof, and the dignity of the creatures, of the human beings, should not be light in his eyes. Shari hu doiches loisa ase shel divreim, for we find that human dignity supersedes even rabbinic prohibitions. The kol shekein, and how much more so, when we are not simply talking about human dignity, but we are talking about kvoit bnei Avrom Yitzhak v'Yaakov, about the dignity of the children, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, hamachazikin b'Torah so'emes, who adhere to the Torah of truth. Sheyeh zohir, that he must be careful, the judge must be very careful, shelo yehores kvoidam, not to destroy their dignity, not to destroy their honor. Whatever he does must be done elo lohoisif b'chvoit hamokem b'lvat, exclusively to enhance the dignity or glory of God alone. In other words, though many of these things are left to the discretion of the judge, that it is in his hands, he has the power to act here as he sees fit, but at no times should he introduce ever any personal elements. He must act always strictly out of a sense of responsibility for the dignity and the preservation of the honor of God and his Torah. Shekol ha-mevaze es ha-Torah, for whoever dishonors the Torah, gufoy mechulol al abriyos, will himself be dishonored among creatures, among men. Va-mechabed es ha-Torah, but whoever honors the Torah, gufoy mechubad al abriyos, he himself shall be honored among the creatures, among men. Vein kvoit ha-Torah, and what means honor of Torah? Says the Rambam, ein kvoit ha-Torah, there is no honor of Torah, there is no way of honoring and respecting the Torah, elo but by lasois, to act, al pi chukeo mishpateo, in accordance with its statutes and its laws. This is what kvoit ha-Torah, honor of Torah, means.